Corinthians 13, and we'll read verses 1 through 9. And while you're turning there, or maybe you've already gotten there, I'm going to read Colossians 1:18. I believe part of it's on the little banner out there in the lobby. It says, "And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. And in the church, in all aspects of our life, Jesus Christ must have first place. He must be the all-important one. And in the Corinthian church, that was not taking place. Opinions, things had moved into the church that had taken their thoughts, that had taken their principles of life that they lived by and had moved them away from Christ and had turned them onto self. And as they had turned to looking at themselves, they found problems in the Apostle Paul. And as we come to 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 1, as the Apostle Paul has been defending his authority, has been defending his apostleship. He hasn't been defending it just so that he can get his reputation in line so people don't think bad of him. But as we looked at last time in verse 19 of chapter 12, where he said, "Again, think ye that we excuse ourselves unto you? We speak before God in Christ, but we do all things, dearly beloved, for your edifying." So the Apostle Paul is defending his authority as an apostle and his place of ministry in their lives, not because of his own personal gain, but for their own personal edification. And so this relationship with the Apostle Paul had been destroyed in some ways, and their sin had come into the church. And we come to 2 Corinthians 13 in verse 1. It says, "This is the third time coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established." We find here some truths that our Christian life needs to be built upon. And the first one that we see is that our lives ought to be based upon principle. Now, with the Apostle Paul, when he came to them, he was not just going to work upon hearsay or work on gossip or work on the whims of something else he heard, but he was going to base it upon principle, and the principle of God's word in Matthew 18 was the mouth of two or three witnesses, is one of the passages that is mentioned. It says in verse 2, "I told you before and foretell you as if I were present the second time, and being absent now I write to them which heretofore have sinned, and to all other that if I come again I will not spare. Since ye seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. Now I pray to God that ye do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak, and ye are strong. And this also we wish, even your perfection." So we see here the first truth that every Christian must base his life upon is that we must base our life upon principle. You know, is your life based upon principle tonight? Is it based upon truth? In verse number 8, it says, "For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth." You know, the Apostle Paul realized that he had to live his life for truth. And he wasn't going to live his life for anything else. He was going to live his life for truth. We live in a day and age in which truth, in a sense, is looked down upon. Truth is not something that is uplifted. Many times truth is scorned because for many people, truth is not truth, but truth is maybe the opinion of the majority. And if the opinion of the majority sees something as right, well, then that must be what is right. Oh, the majority's opinion is beginning to change, so now this must be okay. Take, for instance, the marriage issue. What's happening? People's opinion is what? Is changing. So the more people that you get to change your opinion on the subject must change the what? Whether or not it's right or wrong. But it's not. It doesn't matter how many people believe in it. Truth is still truth, and our lives must be based upon principle. And the Apostle Paul, we can do nothing against the truth but for the truth. You know what? Eventually the truth is what? The truth is going to come out. And you can live your life any way you want. And it can look like, you know, it can look like you are wrong. Maybe it's at work and you know something's right. And you know, and maybe everything's turning against you. But you can't what? You can't work against the truth. Eventually it is going to come out. In the Apostle Paul's life, he realized, you know what, I can't do anything against the truth but for the truth. And his life had to be based upon principle. And I wonder tonight, is your life based upon principle? The decisions that you make for your family, how do you base the decisions you make? Is it based on truth? Is it based on the truth of the Word of God? Or is it based on the philosophies of the day? Unfortunately, we have a lot of, and it can't be called Christianity, because if it was Christianity, it'd be based on the Word of God, but so-called Christianity that are not basing the principles of their family upon the Word of God. And guess what's going to happen? Eventually, the truth is going to prevail. The message we heard this morning, you know, Satan. He's going to keep what? He's going to keep upright, you know, rising himself up. And eventually he's going to be what? Completely put down. And the truth is what? The truth is going to prevail. It says here, though, in verse number 1, he says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. And so he bases how he is going to operate himself with the Corinthian church on what? On principle. What does it say in Matthew chapter 18? I already alluded to it. Matthew chapter 18 and verse number 15. It says, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. Two or three witnesses. You know, we need to be careful in how we operate in our lives. It was interesting today. One of my children told me something about why somebody wasn't coming to the school that somebody had told them, another child. And I wasn't quite sure how to respond to them. And one thing I said to them, well, that's the first time I've heard that. Anyways, it was just kind of interesting. You know, things can travel around. We can believe things about people, but they're not based upon the principle of God's word. You know, in our lives, we need to make sure that we don't run our lives based on the whim of the moment, but we base our lives on principle. And the Apostle Paul says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. I told you before and foretell you as if I were present the second time, and being absent now, I write to them which heretofore have sinned, and to all other, that if I come again, I will not spare. The Apostle Paul was going to what? He was going to have to deal with this sin, and he's hoping as he writes to them that they're going to what? Deal with the sin before he comes. He wanted his sin dealt with, but he was willing to do what? When he got there, deal with the sin if that's what was necessary to take place. You know, most of us like to what? When there's a problem, we like to what? We like to avoid it. You know, we don't like to have to deal with it. But principle is principle. When a problem needs to be dealt with, it needs to be what? It needs to be dealt with. And here the Apostle Paul, he didn't want to have to come deal with this problem. And he's writing to them hoping that they will take care of this issue before he comes. But he's making it clear to them that when he comes, this is going to be dealt with. That if I come again, I will not spare. And he says, since ye seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you. And the Apostle Paul, many of them thought he was what? Well, his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. You know, and when he writes these powerful things. But when he comes to us, he's weak. And he's not that great. And what does he say? Well, when I come to you, I'm not going to what? I'm not going to spare. And this sin needs to be dealt with. This sin needs to be dealt with. But he says here, since ye seek a proof of Christ speaking in me. So notice that. Notice how they turn the attention off of themselves, and the attention is turned to who? The Apostle Paul. Look where the problem is. To many of the Corinthians, who was the problem? The Apostle Paul was the problem. So they are seeking a proof of Christ in the Apostle Paul. Then he says, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you. So Christ was mighty. What did he do? There was a powerful work that had been accomplished in their lives when they were saved. If we go over to Ephesians chapter 1, the eyes of your understanding, verse 18, being enlightened that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. And so he says, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you. And when we're saved, we experience the what? We experience the resurrection power of Christ. That same power that raised up Christ from the dead is the same power that what? Transforms us when we are saved. And so So these people had, Christ was not something what? Someone weak to them, but someone mighty to them. And so now they're viewing the Apostle Paul as weak, but Christ is mighty to them. But then he goes in verse 4 and he says, for though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. And we find that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was crucified, how do you think people would have viewed him? As weak. You know, if we go to 1 Peter chapter 2, how did Christ respond? He says, for even hereunto, 1 Peter 2, verse 21, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. You know, Christ to many of the people today may have appeared very what? May have appeared very weak. And many times today, acting in a principled fashion can appear what? Can appear weak. You know, you think of the macho man type mentality of today. You know, when somebody does something to you, what do? You retaliate back. And it may seem, and that's the what? That's the idea of what? Being strong. But that's not the biblical example that has been set for us. To many, Christ appeared what? To many, Christ appeared weak. He came, he humbled himself, and he became a what? He became a servant. Philippians chapter 2. He became a servant. A servant, would you view a servant as this is a person of strength? Yeah, they might have physical strength. But do they have any authority to get themselves out of the position that they are in? And so we have, it says here, for though he was crucified through weakness, yet he what? He liveth by the power of God. For we also are what? Are weak in him. But we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. So the Christian life is a life of principle, but the Christian life is also a life of power. And this power is only experienced through who? Well, it's only experienced through Christ. We shall live with him by the power of God toward you. And in the Apostle Paul's life, what was he going to demonstrate in his relationship to these people? It was not going to be some physical power, so to speak. You know, that he was going to have this great, mighty, physical presence. Although, in some ways, that's what the Corinthians fell for. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 20. He says, for ye suffer, or you permit, allow, tolerate, if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you. Here's somebody that's showing maybe great strength. If a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. He says, I speak as concerning reproach as though we had been weak. And so in some sense, it's almost as if the Corinthian church would accept someone if they demonstrated great physical power, a great maybe physical prowess. And we think of the Corinthian church, what did he have to, 1 Corinthians, have to treat them as? As what? As carnal people, as carnal Christians, living in the flesh. And when we're living in the flesh, it's all about the what? It's all about the outward. Many times we forget about the inward. And the Christian life is a life of power, but that is the power of Christ. And that power of Christ is experienced at salvation. And that power of Christ ought to be continued to be experienced throughout our lives. The Apostle Paul came with the power of God. In 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 7, he says, We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of who? May be of God and not of us. Notice, we have this power in earthen vessels, these brittle vessels that can break, that can fall apart. Why? So that the power can be demonstrated that it is of God. You know, to the Corinthians, they were beginning to get a self-centered focus. Their focus turned away from Christ. And so Paul appeared to them as what? As one who is weak. But as we look at the Word of God, we look at the Apostle Paul, would we think of the Apostle Paul as someone who demonstrated weakness? I mean, we know the New Testament, don't we? I mean, if you thought of one of the most powerful Christians around, who would you think of? The Apostle Paul. But yet, the Corinthians viewed him as what? As weak. Why? Because they lost sight of God's power. They allowed the flesh to creep into their church. They allowed these evil communications corrupt good manners. They allowed the wrong communications to come into their lives. And what we have to see is how off base from the truth we can get when we allow the wrong communications, the wrong influences to come into our lives. Because here is someone who we would view as one of the most powerful Christians ever. And he wasn't powerful in himself. We're only saying he was powerful because he had God's power upon his life. And here's someone that had God's power upon his life, but yet the Corinthians viewed him as what? As weak. They viewed him as somebody that had problems. And they're ready to accept these imposters into their church. Why? They had the wrong people they were listening to. And every single one of us tonight need to be warned that if we're not careful in our own lives, we're going to get what? We're going to get way off base in what we think as a believer if we listen to the wrong people. If we listen to the wrong people, we're going to get way off. Now, I wonder what kind of false information maybe tonight you are believing because you are listening to the wrong people. You can get way off base. I mean, here's the Corinthians. They're way off base. They think the Apostle Paul is weak. And yes, humanly, we are weak. But spiritually, we have God's power. And our lives must be based upon the power of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, are not fleshly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Through God, we can have great power against the enemy, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You know, there were some thoughts, there were some imaginations in the Corinthian church that needed to be what? That needed to be cast down. And in your own life tonight, are there thoughts that have crept in that are bringing you down spiritually because of the wrong influences in your life? So we find that the Christian life is a life of power. It says, for we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. You know, there may be instances where we are viewed as weak, but when we have God's power, it doesn't matter how outwardly weak we may appear, God's power is what matters. Then he comes back, and he comes back in a sense. He had the thought, since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which you word is not weak but is mighty in you. We come in verse 5. He says, examine yourselves. So here the Corinthian church is looking at the Apostle Paul, seeking a proof of Christ in him, and the Apostle Paul comes back and he says, examine yourselves. You know, the Christian life is a life of personal purity. You know, we can get so worried about everyone else. And here they're worried about the Apostle Paul, and they're worried about him, that he is in the faith, that he is or that he is truly an apostle of Christ. And the Apostle Paul comes in and says, examine yourselves. You know, are we so worried about everyone else that we forget about examining ourselves? You know, there's another time in Corinthians, and where the Lord's table is tonight. And it says we are to what? We are to examine. You know, do we take time to examine our own hearts? You know, many times we can be so ready to see the problems of someone else that we what? We miss out on what's going on in our own lives. And here they're ready to, in a sense, probably cast out the Apostle Paul. And he says, you know what? Examine yourselves. And what was one of the importance of examining themselves? He says, whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves. He says, test your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you? Except ye be reprobates, or except ye fail the test. Then he says, but I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. This is kind of interesting, these two verses, how they kind of work together. As you see them in their context, you see that as they would examine themselves, they would see themselves as they were in the faith, What else would they see? They would also understand that the Apostle Paul was what? In the faith. And the Apostle Paul was the one that what? Spoke to them the Word of God. He was the one that preached to them the gospel. And he said that's what his, you know, his life was about, was giving out the gospel. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ shall be made of none effect." And so the Apostle Paul, as they examined themselves, they saw, you know what? They tested their faith. As they would see themselves in the faith, they would also see who else? The Apostle Paul. And so it says, examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Test your faith. You know, put your faith to the test. I wonder, are you putting your faith to the test tonight? Are you putting your faith to work? Are you seeing what is going to be, what it results in? Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates, or except ye fail the test. You know, as the Apostle Paul, here he's speaking to these people that he gave them the gospel. He preached to them the Word of God. He preached to them the faith. And as they would look at it and recognize who they were in Christ, at the same time, they would see who the Apostle Paul was in Christ. You know, this passage is not for getting saved people here to doubt their salvation. But this passage is going to what? Establish us, is going to establish your faith. Now, if you're sitting here tonight deceived, and you know, you think you have something, but you don't have it, well, your faith is not going to what? When you put that faith to the test, you know, when you seek to, you're not going to have that faith to back you up in the time, the pressures of life. When the storm clouds gather, you're going to what? You're going to run. But when we put our faith to the test, it's going to what? We're going to see it working in our day-to-day lives. You know, if you're a saved person, you put that faith to the test. You rely upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the storm clouds gather in life, you are going to see that faith working out in your life. He says in verse 7, "Now I pray to God that ye do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates." And so again, we see the principle of the Apostle Paul. He is not concerned about himself, but he is concerned that these people go on for God, that they would do that which is honest, that they would do that which is honorable in their lives. You know, I wonder, how concerned are you in your own personal life that you do what that which is honorable, that which is honest? And so as they would live an honest life, it would also reflect what? It would also reflect, well, it says, not that we should appear approved. Obviously, it would bring approval. It would, but his main object is that they would have what? Honorable lives before God and before men. You know, do you have that honorable life tonight? Do you have that life? It's not about this person, you know, or that person, or what this person thinks, what that person thinks. But you have a life of honor before God. Is that a life of principle? A life of power, a life of personal purity. You know, you're not looking to find out everything wrong with this person and you live a disgruntled life because all you can think about is the problems of this person over here. When half of what you're thinking about, or all of it, could be completely unfounded. And so many Christians, so many, probably a good number of people out there never get to where they should be for God because they never get over the apparent problems of someone else. You know, it was time for the Corinthian church to understand who the Apostle Paul was. But it was time for them to understand their own sin and that they would begin to live an honorable life before God. Now, I wonder tonight, would your life be characterized by honor? The Apostle Paul wanted them to go on to perfection. He wanted them to mature in the faith. Where are you sitting tonight? Is your life going on unto perfection? Is there that continual, progressive sanctification in your life? Or you just kind of reach a plateau and you're just kind of sinking down? And you know what? There could be some reasons why that's taking place in your life. Maybe tonight you need to see why that's happening. You need to get back to where you got off the road. You need to live a life of principle. You need to live a life that's lived by God's power. You need to live a life of personal purity. Making sure that your standing is right before God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that we would see our own selves tonight in the light of your word. Lord, when we begin listening to the wrong voices in our lives, Lord, we can get way off in our perspective, and we can go backward. And Lord, tonight we pray that the Spirit of God would reveal to our own hearts Lord, our own spiritual needs. Lord, here was a church that was so concerned that the Apostle Paul was off in his Christian life. And Lord, they had bypassed their own personal needs. And Lord, I pray tonight that we would examine our own hearts tonight. And Lord, may we see where we stand in your sight. And instead of being, Lord, so worried about someone else, Lord, that we would make sure that we are living by your principle. I wonder, with heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, is God